This program is part of the Ulagal Radio Network. Ulagal Radio, going beyond the pew, proclaiming truth and encouraging the brethren. Rise up, O men
of God. Welcome to A Few Good Men with your host, Rick Popejoy. My friends, thank you for joining us today on A Few Good Men. Today is actually our third episode in regards to what leaders should learn from the rich young ruler. And of course, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22 records for us at least one of the telling of the story of this man and his meeting with Jesus. Here was a man who certainly is one of the greatest disappointments, but yet at the same time had such great prospect, such great hope in the beginning. Now, in order to address this, we have asked the question of who this man really is and dealing also with his hopeful question and Jesus's startling reply. Just a quick reminder of some of the things, highlights, you might say, very briefly concerning this man. Now, the scriptures identify him, if we're asking who this man is, identifies him as a rich young ruler. Here was a man who had health and wealth and energy, and he had everything that this life could offer, which, by the way, makes his questions very powerful. He's not asking about the physical conditions of his life, but having all things supplied, here is a man who was concerned about his spiritual welfare. Well, the Bible doesn't stop there telling us about this man. It demonstrates that this man was a very earnest man, running up to Jesus, a humble man. He knelt before him. He was a reverent man. He addressed him as good master and good teacher. He was an honorable man. Rightfully, he said, of all these things I have kept from my youth up, Matthew 19 and verse number 20. And he goes ahead and asks the question, what lack I yet? Now, listen, that's a serious question. We ought to be very careful in the questions that we ask of Jesus. But the young man asked two very good, powerful questions. What good thing must I do to have eternal life, and what lack I this? You remember Jesus' reply, one thing thou lackest, that's it. And eternal life is within thy bosom. Well, Jesus said, if thou would be perfect, if thou would be like me, then sell all that you have and come and follow me. Now, at this point in the story, we come to Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 22, and the young man's sad departure. How unlike the way that he came to Jesus. Remembering that he came to Jesus running to him. He knelt before him. He demonstrated such great expectation. And now he walks away slowly and sadly. Here is a young man who failed to become a disciple of Christ, and there was only one thing standing in his way. But why did he go away? Now, it was not because the master had been unkind to him. No. Mark 10 and verse number 31. But many that are first shall be last. See, it wasn't about whether or not this man was being mistreated by Jesus. Jesus treated him. He loved him, the Bible says. He loved this man. But it was because he had great possessions. He tried to hold on to those possessions, you see. He tried to hold on to the treasures of this world. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And my friends, that passage in Matthew 6:24, that is the heart of why this man went away. He tried to hold on to two things that cannot be held on to at the same time. He loved his wealth and he loved his position more than his soul. Now in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 16, you remember the words of Jesus, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Here is a man who lost his discipleship, or I should say never gained it, because he loved the deceitfulness of riches. And they choked out the word, the words of Jesus, from his own heart. He was blinded in his judgment so that he could not or refused to obey the Master. Now, pay attention to the words of Jesus to his disciples immediately following this event in chapter 19 and beginning in verse number 23. He says, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter in to the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." The disciples, it says in verse number 25, were exceedingly amazed, saying then, "Who can be saved?" Well, my friends, this is what we know. No one, no person anywhere at any time can be saved who refuses to meet the conditions of the Master for salvation. But now, anyone can who will. It's not a matter of difficulty here. In John chapter 6 and verse number 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take up the water of life freely." My friends, we could go through very succinctly the plan of salvation. You see, if Jesus asks you to do something, then that you should be willing to do regardless of what it is. See, while on earth, Jesus forgave sins as it pleased him, but now he has left us his will, and we are responsible for following that will. So we are to believe. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16:37. You have to repent of your past sins, Luke 13 and verse number 3. You have to confess the name of Jesus, Matthew 10:32. You have to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. You see, those are the conditions that he left us on becoming a disciple of Jesus, and this man never made it. You and I might lack 1,000 things to become a disciple of Jesus. This man lacked but one. But now, I want to call your attention, because we're not talking about how to become a disciple here. We're talking about the fact that God is looking for a few good men. We're talking about leadership. So I want to draw your attention to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, where Peter says, he's writing to the elders, which are among you. He says, "I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness of the suffering of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Here, based upon who Jesus is, based upon the relationship that Peter has with them, he admonishes them, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Not being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear," he says, "ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now, my friends, as leaders, we need to maintain the doctrine of Christ. We cannot, listen, there was one thing this man lacked. We cannot suffer individuals to obey the gospel when there is one thing to lack. We must follow the precepts of Jesus. But even more so, as a leader, it's myself. Then, listen, we now face the same Christ that this rich young ruler faced. He had his chance, and he threw it away. We still have our chance. The Christ that desired his discipleship, that loved him, that yearned for him, now yearns and loves us. The Christ that invited him now invites us to be leaders, powerful leaders. Will we go away because we are disappointed in the Master's words? Oh, listen, there are times in which his own disciples told Jesus, those are hard words. There are many times in Scripture, John 6 and 66, one example, where many of his disciples left him and walked with him no more. My friends, leadership is hard. It is even harder in spiritual matters. Let me encourage you to be like Jesus as a leader in God's kingdom. Learn the lessons of the rich young ruler.